Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
The voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, proud to be your host. If you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name too. This is episode 1928, the 28th podcast of 2019. It would have been the 29th episode. But last week, as you all know, we did not do a podcast. We were traveling on the road, returning from T-Rex 2019, which was a great training exercise, nationwide grid down emergency communications exercise with hundreds of folks practicing their communications, emergency communications plans across the country. It was a scenario-based exercise based on a cyber attack, and there were many successes and there were many failures, as was our intent to create a controlled chaos environment to stretch things, to bend things, to see what breaks. And several things did break. So we have made lots of notes. I have more after action reports that have continued to come in that I will be continuing to go through and highlight some of our key feedback points to put together an after-action review to share with you all, probably in a partisan radio podcast. And I'm hoping to get that all wrapped up by the end of this week to identify things that we need to improve upon, some things we need to get rid of, and some things that we may need to add and get those dialed in. We will be doing more regular, like a monthly mini training sessions on various different components techniques that we use in emergency communications. And then also quarterly mini training exercises or sets. That's a simulated emergency test where we get to just 2 hours, 4 hours, once a quarter to create a scenario-based training exercise and really apply the things that we are, trying to implement. So anyway, it went very well in some areas, and it did not go very well in other areas, and we are always looking to improve. So thank you guys for your participation and your feedback. All right, it's August already. It's hot out, and it's wonderful. It's been tragic news stories, no doubt. Personally, for me, it's been a huge blessing. I've got to go and do and see some things. We went to the Scottish Highland Games this weekend, yesterday, in Spokane, at the Spokane Fairgrounds. And that's, part of my heritage. It's where my grandfather came from. And so it's really a cool thing, to find your clan and kind of relive some of the history, some of the stuff that my grandfather told me when I was just a young boy about what it was like in Scotland. And I'm so grateful he moved to America. I don't know what happened to the Scots, but they want globalism. They want the European Union. They're just happy being under, subjects of the British crown. And I thank the Lord that my grandfather chose to get off that island and come to the greatest nation that's ever existed on earth in the history of humankind. But it is really neat to touch that, your heritage again. So that was a really cool thing. And also I had a friend, Amaron operator, who was a pilot, that came and picked me up, and we did a little tour of the American Redoubt, at least portions of it, from the air. And that was just a real treat to be able to just be able to go do that. So anyways, it's been a good week. But in the news cycle, it's just heart-wrenching to see what's going on. Mass shootings. I'm going to be talking about that. And after the news, I'm going to begin a series. This is going to be the first of a series that I'm doing titled The Enemies Within, or Domestic Enemies. We're going to talk about the insurgency that is taking place. We are going to be talking about subversion and Marxist tactics that are being used to dismantle America. So we can identify those for what they are and how those tie into this Civil War II that we don't want, that we pray against, but maybe thrust upon us and actually is not coming, but is already here. So we'll talk about that. I already kind of led into that a little bit with Sam Culper's podcast series that he's doing on Civil War II in America. And so we're going to be kind of tying this narrative to that. So first, the news and commentary. Brought to you by the author, Glenn Tate, the author of the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. It's not just the end of the world. It's just the end of a season and then an opportunity to rebuild. I really like that part. All 10 books are out, including the audiobooks. Check it out at 299days.com. Okay. After last weekend's mass shooting incident, at a California garlic festival. Now this weekend, some young punk walks in to a Walmart mall in El Paso, Texas, and mows down 20 people. And 27 injured that we know, if you can trust the early reports, which you never trust the early reports. Less than 12 hours later, 9 shot to death in Dayton, Ohio. So Zero Hedge had an article that just came out this morning. Trump addresses the nation Monday. So tomorrow he's going to be addressing the nation over the mass shootings and says more gun control may be needed. He's playing into their hands. Now, before I go any further, we've seen consistently each of these mass shootings, they start off with some type of right-wing, racist, white nationalist type of right-wing extremist label. And then we find out in the coming hours and days that the initial reports were all wrong. So you don't trust the initial reports because consistently, with only a few exceptions, we have seen, first of all, in gun-free zones. Secondly, we're seeing that these people are turning out to be leftists. If they're not Islamists, they're leftists or at least registered Democrats. And we've seen this over and over. And they always start off pointing the finger at conservatives, right-wing, radical conservatives. This is what Marxists do. They project onto you the evils of others. And unfairly labeling conservatives as the source or the cause or the perpetrators, rather. So it looks like President Trump, I like the man. I really love President Trump and what he's doing. He is, in our country, he has been so bold as to do what we had wished so many other previous presidents have done. But he's not perfect. And right here, I think he's playing right into their hands. Zero Hedge is reporting, in the wake of multiple mass shootings over the weekend, President Trump told reporters in Morristown Airport before departing the White House on Sunday that hate has no place in our country and we're going to take care of it. What does that mean? Well, The Hill reports congressional Democrats, 2020 presidential candidates, and others have rushed to draw comparisons between the motives of the El Paso shooter and Trump's immigration rhetoric. So I'm going to pin this on President Trump. We're going to talk about what you do in this, the tactics that they're using, the Saul Alinsky type of tactics. Notably, however, even Trump nemesis, former FBI Director Jim Comey, admitted in his latest op-ed that according to a manifesto widely attributed to him, the Texas terrorist who killed at least 20 people in El Paso on Saturday wasn't directly motivated by Donald Trump. No kidding. Matter of fact, I am not even convinced. I've not seen direct evidence that this individual even authored that manifesto. They're just saying this is his manifesto that magically appears after his Facebook page, the shooter's Facebook page, has reportedly been altered. We'll talk about that in a little bit. The president ignored shouted questions about whether the El Paso shooter's anti-immigration manifesto shared similarities with his rhetoric, and he said the shootings are part of a mental illness problem. Well, he's close. It's actually a spiritual illness problem. We're spiritually sick, and this is nothing other than demonic activity. That's me throwing that in there. The president then added that he had spoken to Attorney General William Barr, FBI Director Christopher Wray, the Ohio and Texas governors, as well as members of Congress, and he says, we have to get it stopped. This has been going on for years in our country. And he added, perhaps more needs to be done with respect to gun control. Stop. Right there. All of the gun control laws that they want to propose would not have prevented this or all of the other shootings. You've already banned murder. That didn't work. You put signs up saying no firearms on this premises. That didn't work. But anyway, there's a lot of questions surrounding this. Naturalnews.com brings up some questions. And this is written by the Health Ranger. A lot of you are familiar with his website over at Natural News. The official news narrative about the El Paso Walmart mass shooting is largely fabricated, he states, even though the violence was real. Now, this is where you start to cautiously tread, because you start getting into conspiracy theory type of stuff. Without substantiating it, that's dangerous. Without providing evidence, this is a dangerous thing. But he does bring up some valid questions. And he admits, people were really shot and killed. No question about that. But the narrative surrounding the tragedy is almost all fiction. Now, I want to stop there, because we have seen in multiple previous mass shooting incidents that the initial narrative that came out was incorrect. But they don't follow up and correct those things. But they want to leave you with the first impression this is somehow motivated by some white nationalist, and they're going to make it a racial issue. And of course, if you look at the manifesto, it would seem this is racially motivated. But here are the questions. First of all, if there's only one shooter, why did so many eyewitnesses report multiple shooters at the scene? This is one of the things that bothers me about the shooting in Las Vegas 2 years ago at the concert. Because I personally saw videos that people were taking of muzzle flashes coming from the building in different parts of the building than where they took down the shooter, where there were also muzzle flashes. There was more than one shooter. So to end up saying, oh, there was just one and we got him. By the way, that turned out to be a leftist. So here's the questions. Why, if they only have one person in custody, all these eyewitnesses, people that said, I saw two shooters, I saw three shooters. There was two to three people shooting in different locations. They saw them run by, they saw them shooting, and they're describing them as, you know, wearing all black. Number two. Why did the local police arrest and hold three suspects in custody, as was widely reported by the media, before the story was changed to a lone shooter? Number three, why does the so-called manifesto appear to be written by someone far older than 21 years of age? And that's a valid question. I read the manifesto, and it just doesn't match up. Now, I don't know this young man. Maybe he's quite capable of writing that. But something in my gut, which I've learned to trust, didn't match up. We have no proof that the shooter wrote that manifesto. The fourth question, how does one man kill 20 people and wound another 30 people with a single magazine that only holds 30 rounds? The surveillance photos show no chest rig, no battle belt, and no spare magazines. Well, that doesn't necessarily, it's a valid question, but I've had a magazine in my AR-15 with two spare magazines in my back pockets. I don't need a chest rig to carry additional magazines on me. But a lot of these shooters, they go in full battle rattle. They're, you know, they're wearing chest harnesses. They go, you know, all to tour of duty. You know, they want to look the part. Five, if the shooter is on a suicide mission, why does he bother to wear both eye protection and ear protection? So, well, this author suspects that he fully intended to get caught. So here's the other question. If you hate illegals and want to protect America, as this so-called manifesto purports, why would you mass murder Americans shopping in an American store? Wouldn't you theoretically want to target illegal aliens if that's who you want to destroy? Nearly all the people who were shot were Americans. So it makes no sense to hate illegals and then turn around and mass murder Americans. So another question, why was the shooter's online profile changed from Democrat to Republican / Trump supporter / QAnon follower? Look at this, QAnon. Now, that came up yesterday in the show that I brought up about this FBI memo, which I'm going to bring up again for those of you who missed it. If you follow QAnon, which is a, you know, conspiracy theory, right, you're a domestic terror threat. I'll be getting to that. So clearly the deep state is modifying his online profile to match their own conspiracy theories and official narratives about QAnon followers being domestic terrorists. Exactly what I'm going to be talking about. Now, this is something that we have seen also come up in the past, and it gets buried, where folks have screenshot captured their social media pages. Only just an hour later or less, their political affiliation changes from Democrat to Republican, from no religion to Christian. And this question is brought up again. There's several websites that have evidently captured screenshots of the shooter's social media page showing changes from a Democrat to a Republican within just an hour. So these are valid questions. These are things that make me continue to be suspicious. But here's another story that is also very interesting out of El Paso. Just before that, also at Natural News, that Thursday, August 1st, there's an article that titled "Antifa Anarchists Gearing Up for 10-Day Militancy Training and Siege of El Paso. Texas Patriots Should Mobilize." So, also out of Natural News, this is what he wrote. I'll just read just a little bit of it. It was written by J.D. Hayes. "We wondered when left-wing extremists would try to pull off a John Brown event prior to the 2020 election in the name of freeing illegal aliens, and it appears we may not have much longer to wait. According to information circulating online, Antifa-aligned anarchists and activists are calling for a 10-day siege of El Paso, Texas, on the U.S.-Mexico border to conduct militancy training in preparation for direct action against someone, perhaps even Border Patrol or Customs and Border Protection personnel currently patrolling the border and staffing detention facilities filled with the illegal aliens." And now, just 2 days later, after this article was released about Antifa training to carry out operations to save illegal aliens, now we have an active shooter who purportedly writes this manifesto screaming about the problem of illegal immigrants in El Paso. Kills 20 and wounds at least 27 more. So there's some things that just are not right here. Doing the gut check. I don't have the answers right now, but these are questions that we should be asking, I think. Washington Democrats and their emotional vendetta. Here's an article at Redoubt News addressing this witch hunt against Representative Matt Shea with this investigation the Democrats have initiated from Olympia, the capital of Washington State. And they ask the question, Redoubt News asks, if they can do this to a duly elected legislator, what do you think they will do to the average citizen? So this just came out a couple days ago, written by Sherry Duvalli. The Washington House Democrats are playing their own version of the Mueller investigation game and are spending $120,000 of the people's money to investigate a dead issue, an issue of rumors, innuendo, and disgruntled volunteers. This is another weary waste of resources and taxpayer funds to demonize a good conservative Christian lawmaker. The insinuations that the communist-leaning Guardian reported earlier this year have been debunked and are considered fake news. Yet the House leadership, tired of the freedom agenda that Shea follows in his promise to his constituents, grasped at the straws of the Christian-bashing anarchists threw at them. Representative Matt Shea, who repeatedly challenges the Democrat House leadership, has been dealing with false allegations of a socialist hit piece for several months now. Rising above the slander, Shea went on to a winning session in the Washington House. Herein lies the rub. The Democrats don't want you to know all that Shea has accomplished. They don't want you to know about H.R. 4610, a bill honoring Japanese Americans who suffered relocation and internment during World War II. They don't want you to know about Senate Bill 6025, which Shea spearheaded through to protect the privacy of all citizens that complied with the bump stock buyback program. Shea is known as a leader in the pro-life movement, supports veterans, is an unwavering advocate for the Second Amendment and the Constitution. These issues alone would make the Democrats afraid of him. Now, this is an excellent article. She goes much more into depth. I want to encourage you to go to redoubtnews.com to read the rest of that article. But they called him out. Some good news for conservatives, Second Amendment supporters, those who are fond of the Constitution, in Washington State, actually on the east side out of Liberty State. But until Liberty is an official state, Police Chief Lauren Culp has announced that he is going to run for governor of Washington State. He is the chief of police in Republic, love that name, Washington, who said that he would not enforce the unconstitutional portions of I-1639, this initiative passed by the people who were duped into thinking they would make their state safer by voting in a bunch of draconian anti-gun laws. And he said he would not enforce it. He wrote a book, became kind of a local hero, a regional hero in the American Redoubt. And now he's running for governor. So be tracking that. He is that's going to be in 2020. And there's got all the information here. I'm not going to go into all of it, but they need help with donations, spreading the word, and supporting him at the rallies if you would take the time to do that. He's got an event on the 15th of August that'll start at 6:30 p.m. with the speech at 7 p.m. in the Patriot Barn in Hinserling Road, north of Prosser. That's where we hold the Northwest Preparedness Expos. So excellent. Okay, good to hear about that. So they're spreading the word on social media. Now let's take you to the last story here for the news and commentary from rhinopack.org. That's the Rhino Hunters of the Inland Northwest, rhinopack.org. That's with an H, R-H-I-N-O, rhinopack.org. But from their Stark Raving Mad page, click on the Stark Raving Mad button at the top of their page at rhinopack.org. You'll be able to read this and other stories. A Trump supporter attacked. And this was just on the 30th of July, they posted this. In New York City, a citizen of color, Jehangir Turan, 35 years old, was attacked and beaten by a mob of nearly two dozen tolerant lefties for having the audacity to wear a MAGA hat. That's the Make America Great Again hat, red with white lettering that we've seen everywhere. The educated and erudite lefties repeatedly screamed, F Trump, F Trump, as they pummeled and stomped the helpless victim. Turan, an ardent Donald Trump supporter, had been walking down Canal Street in New York about 6:30 in the evening when the attack commenced. He suffered extensive injuries to his face. Turan says that he will have to be more careful about where he wears his hat in the future. Violence has become common as the left increasingly embraces the tactics, rhetoric, and beliefs of their German socialist Nazi predecessors. The violence has become so common that President Trump is considering listing their military arm, Antifa, as a terrorist organization. All right, here's your 2-minute teaser from Alerts USA, the weekly summary, which does not include the latest shootings that have taken place this weekend, because this was produced and distributed yesterday on Saturday. So your 2-minute top stories, and then at the end of the show, we will play you the entire Alerts USA weekly summary intelligence briefing. We come back with segment 2. We're going to start talking about the enemies within, part 1. Don't go away.
This is an Alerts USA Threat Journal Homeland Security Weekly Update for Saturday, August 3rd, 2019. This week in security news, on 12 occasions this week, Alerts USA subscribers were notified via SMS messages to their mobile devices regarding safety and security matters. First up in this report, on Sunday, Alerts USA subscribers were some of the first in the U.S. to learn of a mass shooting unfolding at the Gilroy Garlic Festival, one of the nation's best-known food gatherings in Gilroy, California. In this incident, Santino William Legan, a 19-year-old resident of Gilroy, entered the festival by cutting through a wire fence and began firing into a food area with his Wasser 10 semi-automatic rifle, which is a Romanian-made AK-47. The weapon was legally purchased in Nevada on July 9th. Police at the scene engaged the shooter within 60 seconds. While initial reports stated Legan was shot and killed by 3 officers who responded, late Friday evening, the Santa Clara County Coroner's Office reported that the shooter, in fact, died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. In total, 4 people were killed, including the gunman, and at least 12 others were injured. Despite numerous reports of there being a second suspect, the Gilroy Police Department has yet to identify any solid leads, and the investigation continues. At a Thursday press conference, FBI Special Agent in Charge John Bennett said that they have yet to nail down a motive for the shooting. Authorities have been uncertain about whether extremist views played a role, despite the team posting in his Instagram account about his Iranian grandfather a few days before the shooting, and a post about a fringe white supremacist book written in 1890, which went up the day of the shooting. Quoting one investigator, it did not appear that Legan focused his gunfire on any particular group. Next up, on Wednesday of this week, Alerts USA subscribers were notified of a report that Hamza bin Laden, a son of Osama bin Laden, had been killed. NBC was the first to issue a report, citing now infamous unnamed intelligence sources, followed by both CNN and the New York Times. This has been an Alerts USA Threat Journal Homeland Security Weekly Update for Saturday, August 3rd, 2019.
We are back at Radio Free Redoubt, broadcasting from the Free Zones. This is segment 2, and segment 2 is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots just like you get strategically relocated to the northern part of the panhandle if that's where you've got your sights set. Check them out at selkirkmountainrealestate.com. All right. And don't forget, you know, here's a great resource too. The senior editor from the Gem State Patriot has a website called socialismtoday.info. It highlights the dangers of socialism in America, sheds light on the little cockroaches and their agenda, and how they are trying to advance socialism in America. It's a very real thing. It's not theoretical, and it's definitely not conspiracy theory. It's the conspiracy theory without the theory. How's that? Now, I want to begin a series titled The Enemies Within. So this is part one of The Enemies Within, or Domestic Enemies. It's going to highlight and define what insurgency is and shining, revisiting the insurgency that's taking place in our country. We are going to define and talk about subversion and the internal conflict that's going on right now in the United States today, and how they are projecting this Marxist agenda onto America to destroy it. Now, first, I want to take us back to something that most of us are familiar with. Those of us who have served in the military, you do not have to have served as an enlisted person. You could have been an officer. Maybe you are a police officer. Maybe you are an elected official. In any case, you would have taken an oath. Now, those of us who were enlisted, this is going to sound very familiar. And I want to start off with this enlistment oath that we all took who served in our armed forces. It's the law that you must take an oath. Whether you are an elected official, whether you are enlisted, whether you are an officer, whether you're in law enforcement, okay, you will take an oath. But it's particularly a law for those who serve in the military. So, the oath goes something like this. I, then state your name, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God. That is the oath that we all took. And most of us take that oath very seriously. It's not just an oath for the time that you're wearing the uniform. It is something that many of us consider an oath that we are under for the rest of our lives. Even after your time passes, that you wear the uniform in service to your country. So, domestic enemies, do they exist? I mean, we know the enemy is over there, right? You get on the plane and they fly you overseas and you face the enemies of your country to keep them from coming here. But meanwhile, we have enemies right here in our own country, enemies of the Constitution. Now, President Lincoln said, we're not here to overthrow the Constitution. We are here to overthrow those who would pervert or corrupt the Constitution. And that's what we stand by. I want to start by saying, to revisiting something that I heard Matt Shea say about socialists. First of all, they always lie. Number two, they always double down on their lie. And number three, they always project. In other words, they project onto others what they themselves are guilty of. For example, as Antifa is beating an Asian because he's conservative or he's wearing a MAGA hat, they're screaming, F you racist, as they're primarily mostly whites are beating an Asian because he's wearing some type of conservative hat. So they project onto others what they themselves are guilty of. I want to remind you of not a mnemonic. What is it? It is a list that I have identified from different research as the tactics that they use in the sequence of oppressing a people. And it starts with marginalization. Then they go to demonization. The next step is criminalization and incarceration and then extermination. We've seen this throughout history, the world over. Now I've added another one between demonization and criminalization, and that's litigation. That's where it's not quite criminal, but you've caused damages to somebody's feelings, so we're suing you. We're going to put you out of business. They're going to litigate you. Even if you win, they're going to try to destroy you financially, because that's what it would take, you know, through lawyers to defend yourself in order to prevail, costs you tens of thousands of dollars. And they know this. So they have their pro bono social justice warrior lawyers draining you financially. Now, under the litigation category, it could actually take other forms as well. If you're an elected official, they could try to censor you or try to recall you, like what they're trying to do with President Trump. And this is what they're trying to also do to other elected officials across the country that the left deems as a threat, such as Representative Matt Shea. They would love to get to the point where they can demand a recall of him, to, you know, order him to step down, to admit his guilt, his xenophobia and his hate and his inflammatory statements and calling for violence, which is not true. But that's what they're trying to do. The other thing they will try to do under the litigation category is boycotting you. We're going to stop like what they've tried to do with Chick-fil-A, for example. Or they will stop doing business with you. Like, we're going to close your bank account because you're involved in the firearms industry. You're evil. You're bad. We can't do business with you any longer. Or, I'm sorry, we won't serve you here because you're wearing a MAGA hat, right? Or you're wearing some lapel pin that shows your conservative views. So they will refuse to serve you in a restaurant. So that falls in between demonization and not quite litigation, right? So it's a mild form of oppressing somebody because of their political beliefs. Now, of course, I believe that they have the right to, serve anyone or conduct business with anyone for any reason you want, in my opinion. I'm reminded of a list of Saul Alinsky communist tactics that are used. First of all, they choose a target, an individual person or a group to destroy. And they will do this by beginning with exaggerated, outlandish accusations against the target. You are racist. You are hateful. You want to kill all the males who will not become Christians. That's what you want to do, right? So they'll take somebody's sermon notes on Deuteronomy 20, which Deuteronomy 20 said in the Old Testament, you lay siege to this city, and if they comply, then they become your servants. If they don't, then you go in and you kill all the males. It was a study on all the different types of biblical warfare, how warfare was conducted in the Old Testament. And they did not always go in and kill all the males. But in Deuteronomy 20, that was their command. So this was a whole study of Old Testament warfare. The left zoned in on that one phrase and attributed it to Matt Shea writing it, which is he did not write Deuteronomy chapter 20. I promise you this. But that's what they needed. So they make this outlandish accusation against you. So what the attempt is, number two, after number one being choosing a target to destroy, number two is make the target defend themselves or demand an apology or reverse their position on something. And what they're trying to do is make you backpedal. Oh no, not me. I'm not. I don't hate people. I love everybody. Whatever it is, right? So they're going to make you defend yourself, or at least demand an apology or reverse your position. Now, number three, once they get the target to apologize or reverse their position, then it's not good enough. All right, but now we have your admission of guilt, right? So you think just apologizing is going to be good enough? Not good enough. You need to resign. You need to pay reparations. You need to whatever. You need to find somebody that's homosexual and give them a hug because you hurt their feelings by saying marriage is between a man and a woman according to the Bible. So just apologizing is not good enough. It'll never be good enough. Remember, their end goal, they've chose you to destroy you, right? They will zone in on an individual. Then step four, increase social pressure to solidify the demonization. Social repercussions, like they will not serve you in a restaurant because of your conservative views. I mean, just like Maxine Waters was saying, you know, when you find them in a restaurant, confront them. And then that happened. Actually, there was hardcore militant leftists who were actually confronting and being combative toward those with conservative views coming out of a movie theater or a restaurant, all right? Seizing your or shutting down your bank account because of whatever political views, right? Because of just hate. And then number five, finally, destroy the target. You're so evil, you should not even be able to exist in our society. So you're completely finished and rendered inoperable. You cannot even function any longer effectively as a threat to the leftist agenda. So right, go right back to once they have identified you and they attack you, you don't apologize. You don't back down. You don't reverse your position on the issues. You know what you stand for. You're not going to compromise, and you double down and you don't give up, which I'm very thankful. This has been Matt Shea's message in response to these latest attacks with this ridiculous witch hunt of an investigation into whether or not he has any violent ties to people or if he's planned any political violence or associates with people who do. And it's just utterly ridiculous. There was a meeting this spring in Oregon. You guys remember me covering this? I got to go back and try to pull this up. It was a leftist strategic planning meeting. And it was reported to me by those inside Olympia that the attorney general of Washington State was supposed to attend, but he did not actually attend in person, that he participated through a phone conference. And I was not able to confirm this, but these were people that had inside knowledge in the Capitol who conveyed this to me. But in that meeting, they have stated two things. First of all, label gun owners as white nationalists and racists. This is it. There's an hardcore anti-gun agenda that is coming. And now it looks like President Trump may be folding, which is the opposite of what you should be doing. Even with the bump stocks, you don't give an inch, because it will never be enough. No matter what you do to appease them, you will never appease them. It will never be enough. It's never good enough. So the first step is to, this came out of this meeting, the strategic meeting that took place this spring in Oregon. I covered it. I talked about it. Label gun owners as white nationalists / racists. Secondly, Christianity needs to be labeled as forcing their views on others or dominionists, right? And the end result is Christians shouldn't be in politics. So now we start to see this Christian dominionist word come up. And just within just a few months after this strategic meeting, where two things were identified as like top of their list, label gun owners as white nationalists and racists, and number two, Christianity needs to be labeled as dominionist or forcing their views on others. And with the end result, the hopeful end result is that Christians shouldn't be in politics, or leave your Christianity out of politics. Now, also as a side note, and we're going to talk about this next week in part two, there are so-called Christian groups also calling for socialist and globalist ideologies to be advanced, defending them and defending against Christian patriots who are standing against the Marxist agenda. So there are Christians engaged in the political, or they're saying Christians engaged in the political system are practicing idolatry. Seriously. So these people calling themselves Christians are playing right into the atheist, communist, globalist hands. They're tools. Just like we've seen historically, and we'll talk about the historical examples of that as well. Now, before we take a break, I want to point you to something that I started to open up and unravel yesterday. And this was an FBI document that was just released recently, warning conspiracy theories are the new domestic terrorism threat. So conspiracy, what conspiracy theories? All conspiracy theories? Well, they actually honed in specifically on a couple. A recent intelligence bulletin comes as the FBI is facing pressure to explain who it considers an extremist and how the government prosecutes domestic terrorists. The FBI, for the first time, has identified fringe conspiracy theories as a domestic terrorist threat, according to a previously unpublicized document obtained by Yahoo News. The FBI intelligence bulletin from the Bureau's Phoenix field office, dated May 30th of 2019, so what, less than 90 days ago, describes conspiracy theory-driven domestic extremists as a growing threat and notes that it is the first such report to do so. So, like I said yesterday, yesterday's conspiracy theory is today's headlines. And who was it that said George Orwell didn't even have the imagination to match what these people have been doing in modern America with the evil and the corruption that they're doing? But one of the theories is that there is a deep state that is trying to destroy America. That is one of the theories that they mentioned. If you espouse that, you could be a domestic terror threat. And I'm reminded of Rich Higgins' memo, which points out the deep state conspiracy, which is not a theory, to unseat this president. He essentially stated this correctly as a coup. And I've got the Rich Higgins memo right here. I want to share it with you. This came out in August 11th of 2017, and it resulted in Rich Higgins getting fired. He was on the White House National Security Council, right? And he is also an expert in irregular warfare. That's what he does. That's what he is a specialist in. We're talking about overthrowing governments and insurgencies and this sort of thing. He is an expert in it. He accurately, correctly identified what was happening against President Trump was nothing less than a coup. And he also identified two primary threats, a Marxist front and an Islamic front, an alliance between Islam and Marxism, all wrapped up in globalism. And President Trump was the largest threat to their agenda. He points this out. So until recently, in 2017, he was the director of strategic planning at the National Security Council. He revealed the program in a 7-page memorandum produced in May of 2017 that warns of a concerted information warfare campaign. This is political warfare, and he details why. By the Marxist left, Islamists, and political leaders and government officials opposed to the populist president. The Trump administration is suffering under withering information campaigns designed to first undermine, then delegitimize, and ultimately remove the president, Higgins states. Now, that's one of the theories that this FBI memo lists. The other thing that they pointed out was the sex trafficking of minors, the sex trafficking, the Pizzagate scandal in Washington, D.C., with pedophilia and sex trafficking and so on. If you believe in this, the Clintons were involved and everything else, well, that was another one of those conspiracy theories that if you believe in, you could be a domestic terror threat. But just look in the headlines. Another pedophile arrest of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, the multi-billionaire, was arrested again for sex crimes against children, the FBI announced. So, we have some inconsistencies here. The people that if you espouse these conspiracy theories, now you're a domestic terror threat, according to this FBI memo. It appears to me that we have some holdovers from the Obama era still in the ranks. Now, if I were in charge, whoever had their hands on this memorandum is part of the problem. Anyone in the FBI who drafted, distributed, who helped edit, anyone who was involved in producing this document is obviously in an adversarial position to our president and the people that support him. And whoever, I would conduct an investigation immediately. I would root these people out, whoever was behind this memorandum, and they need to be unemployed by the close of business Monday. No question about it. The good thing about these types of memorandums is that it makes these little gophers, these little moles, stick their heads up. And when they do, you whack them. Whack a mole. So thank you. Thank you for the people in the FBI who are trying to undermine this presidency and the people that would support him by making themselves aware and spreading the word of the corruption that's going on within our government, that you see us as domestic terror threats. thank you, little moles, for sticking your heads up. So I hope this administration takes care of the problem appropriately. Because making the rest of the FBI are trying to convince us that they're actually on our side and they're just like us really look bad. So we'll see. We'll see if there's some house cleaning coming in the ranks of the FBI. I hope so. We'll be back with segment three right after this.
Hello, Liberty State residents. All our county volunteer groups have been very busy this summer holding their county meetings, selling flags and Liberty State gear, and manning booths at local events. We are organized and getting the word out. We are currently gathering signatures on petitions to our county commissioners to put an advisory vote on the ballot next February. While we have been gathering signatures in person, we will soon be advertising across the state to have people in each county sign our online petition that our website team is currently adding to our website. That should be ready in the next week or two, so please check back often. We will soon be launching our own weekly Liberty State Radio Talk and News Update show, and I will be the host as spokesman for Liberty State. And while it is true that you will never reach your destination if you stop to throw rocks at every dog that barks, we will be holding a press conference in Moses Lake on Wednesday, September 4th, where myself and all our Liberty State captains will be inviting the media to attend and ask questions. We will be there to let the media know that Liberty State is not about Representative Matt Shea. While he struck the match, Liberty State is the fire from we the people who will have the power of our votes restored. So how is our attitude in Liberty State this summer? Our attitude is fierce courageousness. Our resolve is steadfast. Our goal is clear in our minds. We refuse to turn our state over to socialism and communism, and we are actively doing something about it. One of my all-time favorites, Winston Churchill, stated, "One ought never turn one's back on a threatened danger and try to run away from it. If you do that, you will double the danger. But if you meet it promptly and without flinching, you will reduce the danger by half. Never run away from anything." He also said, "Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is courage to continue that counts. All the great things are simple, and many can be expressed in a single word. Freedom, justice, honor, duty, mercy, hope. Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. So if somebody says to you, 'This will never happen,' let them know they're too late. It already is happening. So let this be reflected upon as our finest hour, where we all stood up together and pushed back against an unconstitutional and lawless socialist communist infiltration of our state. So please join us today. I'm Lady Liberty, and this is a public service announcement on behalf of Liberty State. Visit us at libertystate.org today.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
Never, ever, ever give up. Don't give in, don't back down, and never stop doing what you know is right. Nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. And the more righteous your fight, the more opposition that you will face.
We're back with segment three of The Voice of the American Redoubt. That's Radio Free Redoubt. Once again, broadcasting from the free zones across the wire into occupied territory. Have hope and have courage. You are not alone. Segment three is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Designs to help keep you safe and to help you thrive on your property, whether you already own property or you are looking for the property to meet your needs for sustainability, for security, food production, water production, securing water rights. And they also have remote consulting services. You don't have to be living in the American Redoubt to employ their services. Patriot-owned. StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. Okay, now, in light of this memo that just came out saying, you know, people that believe in conspiracy theories like that there's a deep state that's trying to overthrow Trump, it's amazing they thought that they could even get away with putting out a memo like that to the FBI. But I want to take you to, in this segment, we're going to focus on the insurgency, the subversion, the enemies within, which was nailed in 2017 in this Richard Higgins memo, as it is called. He produced this in May of 2017. I'm going to only share part of it with you. And next week, I'm going to share some more of this with you. So let me just read you the background. The Trump administration is suffering under withering information campaigns designed to first undermine, then delegitimize, and ultimately remove the president. He has correctly identified a coup attempt on this president, possibly confusing these attacks with an elevated interplay of otherwise normal D.C. partisan infighting and adversarial media relations. The White House responds to these campaigns. The White House response to these campaigns reflects a political advocacy mindset that is intensely reactive, severely under-inclusive, and dangerously inadequate to the threat. If action is not taken to rescope and respond to these hostile campaigns very soon, the administration risks implosion and subsequent early departure from the White House. He's telling them, you guys are not taking this seriously enough. They're coming for you. Now, remember, he is on the National Security Council as one of the chief advisors, and he comes from a background specializing in irregular warfare, political warfare. All right. This is not politics as usual, but rather political warfare at an unprecedented level that is openly engaged in the direct targeting of a seated president through manipulation of the news cycle. It must be recognized on its own terms so that immediate action can be taken. At its core, these campaigns run on multiple lines of effort, serve as the nonviolent line of effort of a wider movement, and execute political warfare agendas that reflect cultural Marxist outcomes. Boom, he nails it. The campaigns operate through narratives because the hard left is aligned with Islamist organizations at the local, Antifa, working with Muslim Brotherhood, doing business as MSA and CARE, national, ACLU and Black Lives Matter, working with CARE and MPAC, and international levels. That's the OIC working with OSCE and the UN. Recognition must be given to the fact that they seamlessly interoperate at the narrative level as well. In candidate Trump, the opposition saw a threat to the politically correct enforcement narratives they've meticulously laid in over the past few decades. In President Trump, they see a latent threat to continue that effort to ruinous effect, and the retaliatory response reflects this fear. So, responding to the relentless personal assaults on his character, candidate Trump identifies the players and the strategy. And this is what this is President Trump in October of 2016. The establishment and their media, I'm quoting, the establishment and their media enablers will control over this nation through means that are very well known. Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. So, once again, nails it. Let me skip down a little bit further. Recognizing in candidate Trump an existential threat to cultural Marxist memes that dominate the prevailing cultural narrative, those that benefit recognize the threat he poses and seek his destruction. Remember, he wrote this as an aide, as a chief on the National Security Council, warning this president that they are attempting to overthrow him from through the lens of irregular warfare, which is Rich Higgins' specialty. For this cabal, Trump must be destroyed. Far from politics as usual, this is a political warfare effort that seeks the destruction of a sitting president. Since Trump took office, the situation has intensified to crisis-level proportions. For those engaged in the effort, especially those from within the deep state, there it is, or permanent government apparatus, this raises clear Title 18, that means legal, concerns. And I agree that that's this latest memo targeting people who believe in conspiracy theories that there is a deep state I have no doubt they had this Rich Higgins memo in mind when they wrote that, that people who believe this, people who participate in writing this, look, Rich Higgins is a domestic terrorist. That's what they're trying to say. So let me go through the discussion portion of this, and then we'll take a break, and we'll come back with segment four. I'm going to add to this from a different document that was just recently released. Recognizing in candidate Trump an existential threat to a cultural Marxist memes that dominate the prevailing cultural narrative, those that benefit recognize the threat he poses and seeks his destruction. So in the discussion portion, the opposition. While opposition to President Trump manifests itself through political warfare memes centered on cultural Marxist narratives, this hardly means that opposition is limited to Marxists as conventionally understood. Having become the dominant cultural meme, some benefit from it while others are captured by it, including deep state actors, globalists, bankers, Islamists, and the establishment Republicans. Through the campaign, candidate Trump tapped into a deep vein of concern among many citizens that America is at risk and is slipping away. Globalists and Islamists recognize that for their visions to succeed, America, both as an ideal and as a national and political identity, must be destroyed. And isn't that what we're seeing now? Atomization of society must also occur at the individual level, with attacks directed against all levels of group and personal identity, hence the sexism, racism, xenophobia memes. As a Judeo-Christian culture, forced inclusion of postmodern notions of tolerance is designed to induce nihilistic contradictions that reduce all thought, all faith, all loyalties to meaninglessness. Group rights based on sex or ethnicity are a direct assault on the very idea of individual human rights and natural law around which the Constitution was framed. And that's what I've been saying. Natural rights have been replaced by human rights or civil rights. And hence the LGBTQ movement, right? Under the guise of human rights or civil rights, which if they will stomp on people's natural rights as the founders in the Constitution had in mind with the more modern or postmodern civil rights. Transgender acceptance, continuing on, transgender acceptance memes attack at the most basic level by denying a person the right to declare the biological fact of one's sex. When a population has 2+2=5 imposed on it, there are many that benefit. For example, the mainstream media, the principal mechanism for implementing narratives, the academy. Academia has served as a principal counter-state node for some time and remains a key conduit for creating future adherence to cultural Marxist narratives and their derivative worldview. This guy just nails it. The deep state. The successful outcome of cultural Marxism is a bureaucratic state beholden to no one. Certainly not the American people. With no rule of law considerations outside those that further deep state power, the deep state truly becomes, as Hegel advocated, you know, the Hegelian dialectic, God bestriding the earth. Global corporatists and bankers. Exploitation of populations unfettered by national protections and notions of personal morality and piety. Democratic leadership. Let's point to that one. The democratic leadership has been a counter-state enabler that executes, sustains, and protects cultural Marxist programs of action and facilitates the relentless expansion of the deep state. These are enemies within, my friends in the audience. Now, Republicans are not exempt. Republican leadership. More afraid of being accused of being called a racist, sexist, homophobe, or Islamophobe than of failing to enforce their oaths to support and defend the Constitution. The Republican establishment accepts and enforces cultural Marxist memes with its own sphere of operations, within its own sphere of operations. In doing so, knowingly or not, it becomes an agent of that. These quote-unquote conservatives become increasingly indistinguishable from their Democratic counterparts, save that they may misrepresent themselves to their constituents. Lacking the discernment to recognize their situation, they will work with globalists, corporatists, and the international financial interests, and will likewise service the deep state. These establishment Republicans are the hard left's designated defeat mechanism in the destruction of the old regime, as well as the American ideal. Because candidate Trump publicly exposed them for their duplicitous activities, they are at risk as long as Trump can turn on them and are therefore bitter foes. Candidate Trump's success remains an ongoing existential threat to establishment Republicans. And that was directly from the Rich Higgins memo, who wrote this, seven-page report clearly identifying a dual access threat to the United States existentially. That's Islam and Marxism. And he articulates these very well. I concur with his assessment. It's beautifully done. All right, guys, when we come back, I want to share with you a new report that came out titled Re-Remembering the Misremembered Left, the Left's Strategy and Tactics to Transform America. It's a great report that just came out. It's a PDF that's available. I'm going to go through part of it with you from unconstrainedanalytics.org. Stay right there. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more. This is the fourth and final segment of Radio Free Redoubt, episode 1928. Segment four is brought to you by Works Holsters. That's WERKZ.com, the website. Custom-made Kydex holsters and magazine carriers made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. And don't forget to check out the Liberty State line of holsters. You got your choice of a flag or the state seal, and portions of the sales of those go to support Liberty State. All right, segment four, wrapping things up here. There is a document that came out. I want to encourage you to print it out in PDF form. It is free to download, and unconstrainedanalytics.org is the website that gets full credit for this, and they've done a really, really good analysis. It is called Re-Remembering the Misremembered Left, the Left's Strategy and Tactics to Transform America. Now, this is much more than we could even go through, you know, right here tonight. But I want to at least get you started. Add this to your irregular warfare, insurgency and subversion folder, if you will, in for studying this to understand what the left is doing to our country. Remember, once again, America was formed, America prospered. We have American ideals. We fought communism in the middle of the last century, well, for much of the last century, and they have come along saying, we want to change the rules, and we say no, and all of a sudden they point and say, we are intolerant, we're the ones causing division. And once again, they project onto you what it is them, they, who are, what they are doing.
And John F. Kennedy wrote in his inaugural address in 1961, he said, "The same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man come not from generosity of the state, but from the hand of God." Very well spoken. And Bella Dodd, in his testimony to the House Committee on Un-American Activities in 1953, said this: The American people have got to stop fooling around with just fighting communism in the abstract. They have got to know what the thing means, why they are against it, and how to fight it. Very well done. Well, in this article, which is downloadable once again, PDF, this was produced by Stephen Coughlin and Richard Higgins. Richard Higgins, that name sounds familiar? He's the one that wrote the memorandum for President Trump, warning him and articulating what he's up against with a Marxist Islamic alliance that are focused on transforming America we knew it. So completely overthrow our system, which I'll be talking about in subsequent editions of this series, next part, future parts of this series. So here's the executive summary from this report. When associated with rising factional discord, the increased hostility from the left resonates a violence that is becoming a clear and present danger. This paper will provide an estimate of the current situation that transcends well-traveled two-party political narratives. The objective is to provide a strategic understanding of the left that baselines the current situation to enable directionality, predictability, and actionability. To that end, the estimate will use a political warfare analysis. Remember that word. We're going to come back to that. The estimate will use a political warfare analysis to reframe the political environment in order to provide timely, anticipatory situational awareness in support of decision making. National policy has come under the influence of constructed narratives that mainstream and conservative leaders neither understand nor control. Lacking situational awareness or recognize the operational nature of information campaigns directed against national policy, responses tend to be tactically limited and predictably reactive along scripted action-reaction cycles built into the operational sequencing of information campaigns controlled by the left. These powerful but misunderstood narratives drive policy. At their core, these narratives are not American. Rather, they are dialectically driven neo-Marxist memes that infuse mass line efforts operating at the cultural level, intent on powering down into the political space. If you remember, the previous president, who will not be named, pointing his finger at the camera, saying, "This is not who we are." He's pushing a neo-Marxist meme that folks that are citizens that are upholding traditional American ideals and values and constitutional republic form of government and those memes, he's pointing to us saying that's not America, right? So what they're trying to do is tell us what the new America is. So they're basically saying this is a new America. They're pointing at things that are un-American and saying you must do these things. And to stand against it, they're telling you that your effort to stand against Marxism is not who we are, because you're causing division, right? They're projecting onto you what they're guilty of. Okay, so this furthers the left's political warfare effort to impose conformance, resulting in the non-enforcement of laws by those tasked with their oversight and enforcement. And just like we've had laws where the leftists in the government refuse to enforce. As these narratives transition into prevailing cultural memes, non-enforcement becomes institutionalized and enforced by an opposition that increasingly comes under the control of those narratives. As such, for the left, political organizations like Congress become vehicles to execute lines of effort in an execution matrix along which information campaigns are executed from outside and above. Classic communist revolutionary strategies. Okay, not tactics, these are strategies. So some of their key findings and their observations. The political rhetoric driving American politics runs along well-trodden paths, sustaining a political framework from a bygone era incapable of coming to terms with the political movements threatening our constitutional system today. Constrained by this archaic rhetoric, mainstream and conservative players are outmaneuvered in an information battle space they hardly perceive, responding to current threats in under-inclusive manners. The otherisms strategy developed by Marxists to destroy America focuses on the systematic destruction of identity leading to the systematic disenfranchisement of Americans from America. It manipulates the issues of the other, yet it has nothing to do with the other. Rather, it forces a classic dialectical negation along Hegelian lines. This activity presents a clear and present danger that will succeed if not countered. As such, this analysis does not suggest that this is a way to understand the left. It argues that it is the only way to understand it, recognizing that it is one, Marxist, and two, dialectically driven. The dominant cultural narratives of our time can best be summarized by the saying, political correctness is the enforcement mechanism of the multicultural narrative that implements neo-Marxist objectives. It is through these narratives that the left drives policy. Narratives that conservative leaders neither control nor understand drive national policy. When Republican leaders shrink from constitutional principles for fear of being accused of racism, sexism, homophobia, etc., they are subordinating those principles to neo-Marxist narratives. They are giving up ground. So, though these narratives may have been initially imposed, Republicans will adopt them over time through usage. Subjective awareness of the role one plays in such a process is neither necessary nor requisite. By submitting to these narratives, establishment Republicans first become pliant, then obedient to the left, accommodating it through words that work, quote unquote, that create the illusion of opposition while actually signaling surrender in the information battle space. In that role, regardless of the mandates that got them elected, establishment Republicans will defend the issues that got them elected in deliberately under-inclusive manners, the conditions those issues for dialectical negation while demoralizing their base. What Republicans demoralize, the left then disenfranchises. In this role, establishment Republicans become the defeat mechanism of the left. You've heard that before, right? So I know this is a lot of stuff that's probably making your head swim. If you read this, this will hopefully really come to light for you. Some people, they do better by listening. Okay, so I'm reading some of this to you. Others do better by reading. I want to encourage you to read it anyway. This is really important. Political warfare is a Maoist insurgency concept that recognizes the role narratives play in overwhelming rule of law societies, like what's happening in America. It includes the formation of mass line movements and counter-state activities. Counter-state are those which are trying to establish a system that is counter to the established system. And our established system is a constitutional republic based on the biblical and Christian principles. The counter-state are those the new system that is trying to displace the existing system with a new one. And there's two that are working in concert, actually. And it seems counterintuitive that Islam and Marxism
would ally themselves together. But really, I think Marxism is really just using Islam, they're going to turn on each other at some point down the road anyway. And the Marxists will probably end up stomping the Islamists. But that's just my personal assessment. It also uses cultural level narratives to power down into the political space, where fidelity to the narrative will result in non-enforcement of law that over time becomes institutionalized. So while an individual may not be politically active, that person, through the supporting consumption of mass market media, will become more susceptible to activist messaging and discontent. The overall goal of this line of effort is the development and reinforcement of a mass line as it builds the counterstate within the state, complete with its own bundle of replacement legal, cultural, and social norms that operate in parallel with that of the host cultures. We're seeing this both in Marxism and Islam. And that's where I'm going to leave it right now. There's more to cover, and I want to just really... Man, this is going to be, I'm looking forward to this series, and I hope, hopefully you guys are as well. I'm going to handpick some of the stuff that's more in layman terms and break this down so that it's more easily digestible, I guess, for you and for me. And it will be included in part of this. Probably it's going to end up having to be a three-part series on The Enemy Within. So anyway, you guys, I've gone far enough, long enough for tonight. Tried to make up for not doing a show last week. And you guys, be safe out there. Stay alert. Stay aware. Remember, you're not alone. You're not all by yourself. There are millions of patriots out there that see what's going on, right? And we're going to identify that. We're going to shed light on it. So to reaffirm, what you think you're seeing is what you are really seeing. It's not you. You're not having... hallucinations. What you see is real, and what you see is dangerous to our country, and we're going to highlight that and point that out. Okay, this is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to the voice of the American Redoubt, broadcasting from the free zones. Have a safe week, and good night.